Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy is in to tell us we have
a guest.
A guest, Zach Horton.
Zach, welcome back.
Thank you guys for having me back for a second time. Appreciate it.
Just pull that a little closer so everybody can hear you.
Thank you.
Two days before election.
Yep.
Crazy?
Yeah, I definitely have a full newfound plate. Level of respect for anybody who does it. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and I was kind of ignorant to a lot of this before going into it. I kind of had the mindset, well, local elections, how time-consuming could it be? How difficult could it be? And honestly, it was, it's an endeavor that, you know, I give people a lot of credit for, especially the committee members. They work nonstop to try to get us elected and do their part. And like I said, if I'm not working at one of my jobs, I've been doing my best to campaign. It's a full-time job in itself. I give people a lot of credit.
Yeah. How much of the nerves are sitting in right now?
Truthfully, I'm not nervous. I mean, I guess a little bit anxious, but I think that's just because I would like for it to be over.
Right.
One way or another, and either get to work or get to game planning on what I can do in the future.
Oh, good. Good.
It's great to look on Facebook and see not only you being out there and being so active, but a lot of support for you. And you look great in a suit.
Appreciate it.
And hanging out with one of my favorites. I love Mark Molinaro. I think he's a great guy.
Incredible guy. Very nice guy. Very down to earth. Very genuine. Really going to pull hard for him in 2022. I think he's going to play a big role in saving New York State, getting us back on track.
Yep.
If you look at what he's doing in Dutchess County, he's projected to save the taxpayer almost $20 million next budget proposal. So he's full steam ahead, and I see him doing very, very well in November of 2022.
Now, you've gotten to meet a lot of people.
Yes, I have.
Have you been able to take a little bit of something from everybody along the way? Have you gotten a lot of guidance, a lot of advice?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of advice, a lot of guidance, a lot of wisdom from a lot of people. The first person I'll give a shout out to is actually Peg now. Right away, as soon as I expressed my interest in running and I got the endorsement, she kind of befriended me right away. She has a lot of experience in the town. She was a receiver of taxes for a long time, invited me over to her home several times. We've, developed this friendship, worked really well together. So I'm really grateful for her. And then I, got more personal with guys like Mark Molinaro. I had the opportunity to meet Lee Zeldin yesterday, which was incredible. Military experience, legal experience, state Senate experience. He's very well liked in Long Island as our congressman there. He really goes to bat for conservatives, in D.C. And I see him doing very well next November, too, in terms of the governor's race.
So what's it going to take to have you do well on Tuesday?
Like I said, I think that I gave this a fair shake. I think that I've worked as hard as I possibly could around my schedule. I've tried to coordinate with all my running mates as best as we all could. We're all busy very separately, but I think we've all given this a fair shake, and I think now it's up to the voter.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, what your plans are for Saugerties.
Sure.
Going forward here.
Sure. So I'll just go back to a couple weeks ago. We had the League of Women Voters. They hosted the, I guess you could call it a debate. There was no rebuttal format to it, so I guess it was more of like an open forum. The public there had the opportunity to come out, ask questions. The moderator drew the questions, and we all had the opportunity to answer, as best as we could with what, information we have now on topics. Moving forward, if I'm elected, honestly, my biggest goal across the board is just that, is reaching across the aisle, working with all members of local government. The polarization right now is crazy. And I think it's detrimental. And we really have to figure out how we can work past party lines. Drop this idea of always showing up to the polls and having to vote down ballot because that's what your party demands of you, and that's what your constituents demand of you. It should be more about who has the right vision, who has the best platform, and who is just most competent and most equipped to, be a local leader and, represent the people. So I really just want to do my best to be a voice for everybody, do what's best for the town, no matter who else agrees or disagrees with that. I have my friends, I have my family. My goal of being on that town board is to not go along to get along. My goal is to ask the hard questions, cast the hard votes, and not worry about who in my party that helped get me elected might not agree with my decisions, but always just keep the best interests of the town in mind.
Yeah, that's awesome, because that's what you need.
I agree.
Because as Saugerties lately, we're growing, but yet we're progressing, but we're progressing in ways that are a little crazy, so to speak. You know, like, you're seeing things that we would never thought we'd see in this town.
I agree.
And we're trying to, it's a delicate balance.
It is.
So that kind of speaking right there is what's going to help that balance, not just one side just voting everything down or voting everything in.
It is. It is. You know, just I guess an example, and this is a topic that I'm still trying to educate myself more on, but locally, one of the biggest concerns right now is affordable housing, the impact of short-term rentals, Airbnb, and things like that. So you brought up a good point with the population increasing. So I think the latest numbers are we're only about 3,000 residents shy of being equivalent to the city of Kingston. You know, Saugerties geographically is a huge area.
Right.
You know, we have a pretty diverse population right now, you know, especially politically. You know, and just a topic like the Airbnb, like with the population going up and us wanting to bring in new businesses and new attractions, and Airbnb, I think, undoubtedly is going to have to play a significant role in that. But how can we come to a compromise to where we can, you know, not feel like private homeowners are being attacked and
right.
Their private property is being compromised and their ability to supplement their income? And how can we support those with affordable housing and make sure that there's enough, you know, living accommodations for everybody? It's definitely a delicate process, and I would lie if I said that I have all the answers or if I think that I have all the answers. But I think I'm definitely the right person to ask the hard questions and work with the right people to make sure that we can come to these compromises.
Yeah. Now, just as recently as a day ago, mm-hmm. a tentative budget for the Saugerties taxpayers, 8% increase in public in property tax. 8%.
Wow.
We have a lot of people on fixed incomes in this town. 8%, that's a lot.
That's a nut, especially when you look at us doing what we do. I can tell you, going again, we talked off air, going through contract negotiations, we're on the high end looking at like 2.5% and 3% raises. We're kind of lucky in that aspect. A lot of people don't get that. 8% is a lot. It's a big nut to make up.
Now, and you'd step, like, if you win, you step into that immediately.
I would think if that budget is, and don't get me wrong, I'm not quite familiar with all the ins and outs.
Right.
They do have an upcoming board meeting, so the election is Tuesday the 2nd, Wednesday the 3rd. I encourage everybody who's interested to know more about this budget and have their voices heard. Make sure you attend that meeting. I will say this past Friday, so 2 days ago, I actually had to take off from work. And this is part of my frustration with the town is they had a budget workshop that is open to the public.
Right.
So I attended that, but I had to take off work to do it. It was at 1 p.m. in the middle of a workday.
Right.
And you're talking about policies and votes and the implementation of the taxpayers' dollars. And by having things like that at 1 o'clock in the middle of a workday, you're commanding a low turnout. I don't find that to be acceptable. I wish that they made that a little bit more accessible to working people. But nonetheless, I was there. And I'm not going to name names. I don't really find that to be productive right now. But one of our local officials, I was really happy to hear that official speak up and say, you know, possibly that raises for local officials right now might not be the most appropriate thing given the cost of living and all of these other things that we're trying to combat right now. So I was a little disappointed with that meeting in general because a good portion of it was spent talking about raises, you know, and for the 90 minutes, 2 hours that we were there, not much actually was really discussed or figured out. And, you know, it was a little disappointing. I was expecting more of that meeting. So I'm hoping this Wednesday might be a little bit more informative.
Right. And if you're on the board, you want it so that, hey, we're not doing something behind over here. It's not like, hey, look at my left hand while my right hand's over here doing something.
That's exactly right.
And 1 p.m., people have to work. Who's going to show up to a meeting during the middle of the week at 1 p.m.?
That's exactly what I wanted. It's little things like that, I think, that will allow people to trust their officials more. Just little right. things like that more consistently. I can tell you that there were five members of the local government there. I guess you would still say I'm a private citizen, right? I'm not elected yet. I was there. Another woman was there as a private citizen. And then my two opposing candidates were there. And we'll call it what it is. The three of us were there to make sure that we're more knowledgeable and competent right. if we happen to be elected. So we have some sort of leverage going into the town board. You know, and if it wasn't, you know, it was just a shame because you're talking about a lot of money. And you're talking about the taxpayers' money. And I just wish that, you know, people had more of an opportunity to attend these kinds of things.
Right. Whether now, see, having even doing football through the years or whatever, people just want the opportunity to attend. Will they? Probably not. But if you're saying it's 6 p.m. on a Friday, you're not hiding anything. If you're saying it's 1 p.m. on a Friday, people are like, well, I'm at work. What are you doing? You know, so it's perception, a lot of that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Perception's everything. And like I said, I just think little things like that would just help, you know, the voters trust the politicians more.
Right.
Now, a couple weeks back on our podcast, George had a very well thought out and spoken opinion about sororities as a whole and the acceptance of things just being okay. And we both came to agreement that that just okay is not good enough for us, for our children, for our families. How do you feel?
I couldn't agree with that more. You know, I kind of have this idea in my head that, you know, you have to always go above the status quo. I am not somebody who is comfortable with just meeting the bare minimum. I think we should always be raising the bar. I think we should always be trying to rise to the occasion. And I think that if elected, that's my responsibility. That should be my goal every day, and my you know, colleagues' goal every day is to make sure that we are more than the status quo, that sororities keeps flourishing, that, you know, people are happy to live here, that we have a safe and healthy community, that, you know, children can grow up here and have opportunity. Yeah, so I agree with that statement entirely, and I think that's part of the problem is so many people are just okay with being okay. And as local, you know, local leaders, people who are entrusted and you know, given the confidence to make sure that there is opportunity here. We have to do more. We always have to do more and find ways to do more. And a big factor in that is going to be working past party lines and really sitting down and being able to have open dialogue and not have this polarization and division. And a lot of it's just common sense, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what else to say besides that. It's just common sense, and it's not so common right now.
A lot of it, like with small towns, and not that sororities is a small town because we are growing. So a lot of times small towns have that stigma of the old boy network and things are just accepted because that's the way it's always been. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way.
It should not be that way. It should not be that way. And again, I would be lying if I said, sitting here right now with you two, that I have all the answers, because I don't. But I'm willing to work my ass off to find them.
Yeah. And, you know, being from the town, now you just were recently married. Last time you were on, you weren't married yet, but now you're Mr. Horton.
Yep.
You're recently married. You own a house here. You want to bring your family up here when you have a family. So your interest is long-term. It's not like you're trying to be here to be somewhere else. You're here to make your town where you grew up better. Now, we've all seen it. We've talked about the football thing the last time and this. How does sororities, now obviously it's going to be going across the aisle and whatnot, but how do we get from a place of proper growth? We'll call it proper growth, because you can take county and state money and bring in the wrong things because they guarantee you money, but how do we bring in the right things, like businesses or what Mullen's putting in across town? Like, how do we get more of that? Because if we're going to grow and we want our taxes to come down, you go to any vacation town, their taxes are low. You know why? Because people come to their town. We have people coming to our town, but they're not lowering our taxes. We're talking about an 8% increase. So what do we do to get the right businesses here?
That's a great question, and I know that that's going to be the struggle moving forward. I don't have all the ins and outs of Johnny Mullins' proposal there. I know it was a colossal, a colossal proposal. A lot of people who are privy to all those details, I think, believe maybe they might be overshooting a little bit on what they're asking for. But it's doing things just that and having to appease a lot of other people. So that topic came up at the League of Women Voters Forum. And, you know, I gave my honest answer, and I'll be happy to give it here now. I think that we need proposals just like that. I think that we have to find ways to bring in new businesses. And my comment, I think, upset a couple people because I think a lot of people want to see that area preserved. That property has been for sale for some time. And aside from it just sitting there, why would we not try to build something there, a landmark that would want people to come here, that would bring jobs and help put money back locally?
Right.
And stop being so reliant on state this and state that and county that. We can put money back locally right here in Saugerties by having things like that.
Right. And that land sits it sat vacant minus two concerts.
Right. Right.
And in over 20 years.
A big thing is you can use a lot of, you know, popular phrases or whatnot. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't expect tax dollars to come down when you're just going to accept the status quo. There needs to be growth.
There has to be. There has to be economic growth. And I think Saugerties really could boom. We have a lot of the available space. One thing I'm really set on doing is, and I know there's mixed feelings on the Garlic Festival, for example, right? Specifically for this reason. Well, all the money that, you know, it generates, where does it go? This, that. Right. And I can understand all that. But I think Canton Field overall is a very underutilized place. And I don't see why we can't have multiple festivals there, things in the winter, just various things to bring a lot of people here, spend their money locally, local businesses benefit. I just think there's so many things that Saugerties could be doing that we're not doing, and that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, you look back to, this is well before your time, and we were teenagers, but Woodstock 94, it left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths because this big festival came in, a lot of money was promised, a lot of money walked right back out with the promoters, and the town didn't see nearly as much as they thought they were going to see. But you look at the project that Johnny Mullins, and I think it's, who else is involved? Randy Ricks.
Yeah, a few.
There was a third.
I believe there's a few. Randy Richards. A few partners,
yeah.
There.
That's it. Yeah, and like you said, it's a very huge project. It's a big undertaking.
It's just missing the football thing that.
That's
I
all
about.
It's missing.
That took the next comment right out of my mouth.
But again, in something like that, you've got to shoot for the moon. You really do. If go big or go home, and that property is something to where you can afford to try to go big with.
I agree. We're looking at almost 800 acres, give or take.
Yeah, I'm only asking for 80.
That's it.
I'm only asking for 80. You know, but again, I know we're joking around about it, but reality being, that was the idea. That's something that would put money back into the community, and it'd be for everybody. And people would be, oh, it's for athletics. You can do band there. You can do, and it's all sports, boys sports, girls sports, yeah. All sports. Investing in your youth. I guarantee if you Google on a phone what the most money in the country spent on, everybody spends money on youth sports.
It's true, and you can look at the cost of enrollment, and, you know, football always got knocked because it was, oh, it's $100-something. Well, Babe Ruth is damn near that, if not more now.
Yeah.
And that's because participation is so low. It's so low. And, you know, I say this to my wife, you know, all the time lately. I said, I'm so thankful we grew up when we did, when we were outside, when we were playing sports, when we were, you know, just constantly busy and just constantly engaged in things like that. And I just remember going up to that field as a little kid and you couldn't find a place to park.
Right.
And now I look at, you know, growing up playing in the men's softball league, participation is down.
Right.
Yep.
Insurance is up. Participation is down, you know, and it's we have to find our way back from that. Like you said, you have to invest in the youth. Sports are a huge part of that. And just a multi-use complex like that, to me, is a no-brainer.
Exactly. And the thing is it's not okay to just be okay anymore.
No, it's not.
We don't need a 6-lane track. We need an 8-lane track. We don't need, we'll cut off to a pickleball court. I know that's a big sticking point. I think it's the town. They want to put pickleball courts in. And they're making
by the tennis courts. Okay.
And they're like, well, you know, this much room. Pickleball is one of the biggest growing sports right now. Why would you put two when at Kingston, they're triple parked waiting for eight? courts. You know what I mean? It's like, what? That's, you know, that's just not, it's not okay to just be okay.
No, and again, people's major complaints of today's youth, they're on their phones, it's a video game age. Here's the perfect opportunity to give more outdoor sports, more room, more courts, more whatever, and we'll just go with two, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
No,
that's not right.
But here's the thing. We're two adults talking to a candidate who's hoping to get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality being, that's just our vision.
What's sad here is you look at, we got two football players, a wrestler, and your wife was a cheerleader. How many kids are going to be able to look back at their parents and say, hey, did you guys play sports? Nah, we really didn't. It kind of phased out.
Right. But ultimately, going back to what the thing it's really about, is how much money can that bring to our town?
Right.
And our hotels. We have hotels that I can't imagine ever being half full. So if you're bringing in the tournament we played in was 300 teams. Now that's just football. There's soccer. There's this, right? We had to stay in their hotels. We had to spend money in that town because you're there for the week.
Yep. Yeah.
That would be a crucial, like, why don't we do it with Cantine? You've said it. Cantine has it. Make a deal. Hey, you're going to play in these tournaments. You got to stay in these hotels. That's part of the deal. And then, you know, the go-kart track takes off. But it's how do we, and that's what it ultimately comes down to. In Saugerties, how do we grow the right way, not the wrong way? Because, you know, we've talked about the drug houses.
Yes.
And now that's an easy thing for people to go, yeah, bring them in because you're guaranteeing money. But you're also bringing in riffraff. Like, in Saugerties' heart of hearts, they love to take care of each other and help each other out.
I believe that.
I believe that, and I have no problem taking care of our own, but I really would have a problem when we're taking care of Ellenville, Kingston, all the other places. They don't belong here. And I say that, and I know it sounds rude, but why are we bringing other riffraff to our town just because it helps with tax dollars?
It's a tough line to walk. It really is.
It is.
The
I'm glad I'm not in his seat.
Yeah. You know, it's so we're saying we will come to the agreement that okay is not okay. How do we get our local residents, our full-term residents, our full-time residents, I should say, to get out of their comfort zone a little bit and start being able to take a chance at development and growth?
I think it's really going to start. I think it starts directly with the town board. We have the ability to have these meetings, host these meetings, discuss what we want to discuss and when we want to discuss it, bring things to a vote, make it known publicly. It all comes down to the dialogue. We have ideas. We have what we think are viable, rational solutions to things. We have to make it known to the public. We have to make sure that town board hall is packed every time we have a meeting so that folks like you guys can come voice your concerns if you want. Be up to date on the proposals, the information. It really starts with the town board and some self-accountability.
And another big thing, I think, is full transparency.
100%.
All information 100%. Has to be put out so people are basing their opinions on fact and not fiction or, you know, I heard this from somebody else. No, you can read it here. This is what's going on.
Sure. Like, just hypothetically, you know, if I were to be elected, I would never want to show up to a meeting, a town board meeting, ill-prepared. I would not want to be given a proposal or documentation to read 15 minutes before a meeting is supposed to start, and then the public think that I am supposed to competently cast a vote.
Right.
You know, and that's what it comes down to is the transparency. We all need to make sure that we are well-informed when it comes time to vote and that we are doing our best to make sure that you guys, the voters, are well-informed and that you have all the information so that you guys can show up to the polls and vote accurately.
How important do you think a balanced board is? And I mean that by, like, if it's all to the right, you know, you start leaning off of stuff, and if it's all to the left, you start bringing in other stuff. You know what I mean? How much, or do you think it's more important that people reach across the aisle and work together?
I think
balance that way.
I think that is more key. And I say that because I made this very clear to, you know, both parties that endorsed me, that there's going to be times where my Democratic colleagues raise a good point, and that I might agree with them wholeheartedly. And I have no problem admitting that, because that's what this is about. And I'm hoping, you know, that if I had something that I brought to the table that was a solution that was viable, that made sense, that I would have their support too, because I think that's more important. We have to get past the idea that if you have an R or a C or a D next to your name, that that is law. We have to start looking past that. So I think balance, I'm sure, I think it would be wrong of me to say that that doesn't mean anything, because it does. I think that means more maybe on the national scale than it does locally. So I'm more in favor of, you know, I don't care if I'm the only conservative on a town board with four Democrats.
Right.
As long as we can work and we all have the best interest of the town, that's really all that matters to me.
Yeah, I think I was trying to say balance more for...
Sure.
You know, hey, you want some of these art programs, but you also going to need some of this stuff. If that's how we're going to grow, we need everybody's piece to grow together to help, you know, like a community pot. Let's get it all in here the right way.
It has to be a full across the board healthy growth.
Yeah.
Because if you put too much into one area, that can fizzle out, and this area has been neglected.
Yeah.
Now you're down in two areas instead of slowly. You'd rather see slow, consistent growth than that rocket ship that can very quickly burn out.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about our futures, right? We're talking about your futures, my futures, my, you know, with God willing, the future of my kids.
Right.
You know, we're looking for that gradual, steady, long-term growth, and make sure that, you know, Sorgatys is a prosperous place for the next 500 years. I mean, that should be our goal every day.
It should.
Definitely. So Tuesday's the big day.
Tuesday's the big day. Polls are open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Wherever, you know, is your normal polling place.
Yep.
That you voted, you know, would have been the general election. It's, you know, same spot.
And you're on, and you're going to be on what lines?
B and C. Hope I said that right, because I'll get flack for it if I didn't. But just look for the Republican and conservative lines. 6 a.m. to 9 p.m.
And you're working.
Working.
This is a giant, like, tsunami of months of preparation and campaigning, and it's all here.
It's all for one day, but I'm hoping that one day turns into the next 4 years. That's my goal.
Yep. Now, knowing your family,
yep,
and obviously they've been supportive. Are they more nervous than you?
No, I honestly, I don't get the vibe that anybody is nervous. There's just a little level of anxiousness, you know, just, you know, are we going to be able to see the votes come in? How accurate are they going to be? How soon will we know, kind of thing, you know? So it's really more excitement than anything. At least that's how I feel. Because, like I said, I think I gave this a fair shake. And, you know, Tuesday night, depending on what the difference in votes is, you know, I know I gave this everything I had. I'll be able to sleep fine Tuesday night knowing that, you know, I kept my honesty throughout this thing. That I, you know, had the best interests of the town and, you know, the people here in my heart and in my mind. And, that'll be enough for me.
That's good. No regrets.
None.
No regrets.
And I also get that even if it did not go that way, which we are all hoping it does, you're not stopping.
No, my goal is to definitely not stop. I actually... Back in September, I'm trying to think of what, oh, I'm sorry. It was the 9/11 memorial. That was actually my first time I had the opportunity to speak to Kevin Freeman and Kaylee Zaloga in person. Those, if you don't know, those are my direct opponents on the Democratic side. Truthfully, both incredibly nice people, both incredibly kind. You know, we spoke a little bit about politics. We spoke more about, and this was the cool thing, we spoke more about our personal lives, got to know each other a little bit. And like I said, they're both very friendly people. And to me, that's what this is about, is if either of them are elected, if they're both elected, I made it known to them both that, you know, I would like to help them any way that I can at the local level, you know, at least be a kind of maybe even a liaison to the people who support me
right.
and my parties and them. So we can just still try to work collectively. So, no, I don't see this being the end if I don't come out victorious. You know, I certainly, like I said, I think I gave this my all. And it's up to the voter now, what kind of town, what kind of vision you think is best. And we're going to go from there. But long story short, no, I don't see this being the end. I want to keep going full speed ahead and we'll see what happens.
Good. What is it? Three, candidates for two seats?
Four candidates for two seats. So Peg now, she was appointed, late in the middle of a term.
Okay.
Due to her resignation. So she's running for reelection to, you know, hopefully get herself a full term. So essentially there's four of us for two vacancies.
Okay. All right. So you hear it here on the Outlaw Blitz, four for two. So we got to get Zach some, some votes out there.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, people that know you have had a chance to talk to you or hear you speak can sense and see the honesty, can sense and see your desire to get out there and help this community. So only thing I can say, Zach, is best of luck, man.
I appreciate it. All I see is this as an opportunity for me to give back. Truthfully, I hate politicians. I'm not looking to be a politician. I do not have an intention of making a career out of this. I already have a full-time career. I'm just looking to give back a little bit here if I can and just help make a difference in my own backyard.
Right, but you're also, so voters understand, you're not just looking to be one term and then that's it. Either, right? You're not just going, hey, I'm here, this is what I did in 4 years or whatever.
You know, the best way I can answer that is I'm not sure what it is I want to do because I am a term limits person.
Right.
I am in support of term limits. So the last thing I want to do is be hypocritical and say, oh, I plan on being on town board for 20 years. That's really not my goal.
Right.
My goal for however long I'm here is to make as positive an impact as I can. And then we're going to go from there and we'll see, you know, what other roads present themselves. But right now, my goal, my vision is 4 years for Sorgatis, and we'll go from there.
Nice.
Cool. And 20 years from now, you come back on the Outlaw Blitz as Governor Horton.
No, he doesn't like politicians.
No.
That's well, good fine. Luck Tuesday, buddy.
I appreciate you guys, and you know, thank you for the second go around here. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Anything we can do to help you out.
Yeah, when he's councilman, Horton, then we'll have to have him back on.
That's right. You'll always have a free forum here.
I appreciate that very much, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by today.
You got anything?
No, I'm good. Just come out and cast your vote. If you don't vote, you don't really have a right to bitch, in my opinion. So get out, cast your vote, and cast that. Think hard and cast that right vote.
That's right. All right. For the Outlaw Blitz, we are out. Vote Zach Horton.
And take a deep.